No, everyone knows tomorrow is July the 4th, and this is a day that we honor the birth of our nation. And I know there's many things that happened before that, but July 4th, 1776, and so from calculation of Joe and whoever, it's going to be 240 years of the birth of our nation. And that's a long time, 240 years. But it seems like our nation's been here forever, huh? It seems like, you know, when God made Adam and Eve, you know, America, we know the land was created, but America was birthed, it seems like. It's hard for me to understand, especially our nation, having a birth time, you know, but it did. And that's 240 years ago of celebrating. So, you know what, tomorrow, I know our nation is going through some very perilous times, people. Very perilous times. Some great things are happening, but there are some perilous times. There are things that are shaky. Take time tomorrow to lift up our nation. Lift up our nation before God. Call out America to our Father tomorrow. Take some time. And just, you know, you might say, well, how long? Just whatever time. But just saying, Lord, forgive our nation. Lord, bless our nation. Lord, help our nation. And just pray and seek God, that God would be glorified and praised again. Because let me tell you, you know, we can look at, you know, just look at Channel 3 or Channel 10 news, evening news or morning news, and you'll be the most depressed person all day. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, they'll show every tragedy from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and everything in between. And look, there are many horrible things happening, from flooding, unparalleled flooding, to wildfires, to all kinds of shootings and all kinds of stuff. But the butt comes in, B-U-T. But the Spirit of God is moving on our nation. It may, you know, we may think, well, you know, is that really truth? But the Spirit of God is moving upon our nation. You might say, well, how do you know that? Because I look at you. I look at myself. We are Americans. We have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. God is doing a mighty work in us, in His people. God is doing a mighty work in many churches, in many pastors, in many people across the land, that they're coming to Him and saying, Lord, we need Your help. Without Your help, there's no hope. And so God is mightily moving by the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Spirit of God. You know, it amazes me, and I know I think I said this last week, but it amazes me the things that people will tell me after church, you know, or in weeks later after coming to church, how God has spoken to them during song service, how the Spirit of God came upon them, how God is moving in their families. I mean, God just moving. You see, because we serve a mighty God. Amen. Great is His name. Mighty is He. You know, it says, when they built the altar to Balaam, and they came out there and they put water in it, and they built an altar and they tried to call it on fire, you know, for it to consume the sacrifice. They kept on and on and on, and all the prophets of Baal kept calling on their God, and nothing was happening. Zero. Elijah and them, they were just sitting back and waiting and just kind of laughing at them, taunting them. Because he knew their God could not consume that sacrifice. Right. He knew it. And people, our God is the great God Jehovah. Our God is the one that can consume the sacrifice. It's our God that can save our families. It's our God that can save our nation. It's our God that can save our churches. It's our God that can do it. Great is His name, as we sang this morning. Great is our God. Man, they prayed and they prayed and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, Elijah comes and he says, pour water on it. He says, pour some more water on it. And he looks up, says, Father, and prays to him, and fire came down from heaven. People, the devil will try to make us believe that our God cannot do certain things when he knows without a shadow of a doubt, because he's been there every time God opened the Red Sea. He's been there when they walked on dry ground. He saw it. He was there when the sacrifice was taken by fire. He was there when the walls of Jericho came crashing down. He was there. He knows what God the Father can do. He was there when the Father threw him down from heaven because he tried to override God. He was there. He was one of them. Those angels that went with him, that's where the demons and stuff come from now. God said, you will not do that. And threw him down. He knows what the great God Jehovah can do. But sometimes we don't know what our God can do. How some things in life are really minute to him. Not that it's not big to us, but it's minute to him. He can change things. He can move upon things. He can work things out. That's how mighty is our God. I was listening to SBN, and they were talking about, I didn't see this, but they were talking about it, how they had an NFL football player. They didn't name who he was, so I don't know who he is. And he was in the NFL, and he was on a great team from what I understood, and he was a starting player, but they would throw him the ball, and he kept missing it. He was a receiver. He kept missing it. Things just weren't going right. And after a few games or so, all of a sudden, he would get on that field and they'd throw him the ball and he'd catch it. And he was making miraculous plays. I don't know who it is. And so he was on the sideline one day and an interviewer comes. Says, man, what's going on in your life? I mean, you were going from nothing as far as not being able to catch the ball to now making miraculous plays and catching this ball. And the guy looks at the man with the microphone and says, it's because of the cross of Calvary. Because of what I put my trust in. Let me tell you something, people. The devil will try to tell you that we can trust in anything else, but there's nothing else to trust in. We can't trust in our government. We can't trust in our abilities. We can't trust in our talents. We can't trust in other people. We have to only trust in him. And let me tell you, that what he was saying is, I became born again. I gave my life to Jesus. The cross of Calvary. And he put his trust in it. And let me tell you, when we put our trust in him, God will make everything okay. God will make everything right. That's the power and the presence of our God. And sometimes we just sit back and say, oh, I don't know if God can do this. And hey, let's all raise our hands, because we've all been in that boat, huh? All our feet and hands. But let me tell you, we don't realize how great is our God. Amen. How great is our God. Can get the picture in your mind when the children of Israel are at the Red Sea and they see no way out. Mountains on the side. And a lot of times we've all been in those situations, huh? Well, we don't know where to turn. We cry our eyes out almost. I mean, we don't know what to do. But we still trust in him. And can you imagine as Moses took that rod, as God commanded him? There's nothing magical about the rod, people, okay? There's nothing magical about any of those things. No, 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 no. At the word of our Father, things happen. Amen. at the word of the word, because it's alive, it happens. Not because of what we say, but it's the one that backs it up that makes it happen. And as he put that rod out, as God commanded him, and the people saw, the Red Sea just opened. I know if I would have been there, oh my God. I know revival must have taken, I know they were going to walk into the other side, but revival was taking place because they saw again the mighty work of their Father, the mighty work of their God. The children of Israel had come home and God was leading them. And they started to walk. And what was, and we know this, what was so amazing? How long does it take when we have a big rain for your yard to dry up? I mean, it takes a while, days, huh? Can you imagine waters going out of the Red Sea that has been there for umpteen years from the beginning of time?
Come on.
And they look at that ground and it's dry?
Hallelujah.
That's a miracle. God is in the miracle working business today to save your families, to save your soul, to give you direction, to give you help. He's in the midst of wanting to move. And we can't limit him in the way that he wants to move. We can't limit him at all in how he wants to move. Praise God. So you know what? In the scripture talks about prayer in Colossians, that fourth chapter or so. And it says something amazing. It says this. It says, in thanksgiving. I know we think of prayer as saying, Lord, I come to you, and that's important. And Lord, I ask you to bless my family, to save the soul. But also he talks about thanksgiving. And that's a major thing, that we are to go to him and just thank him. Lord, I thank you. Father, I thank you my family's saved. I thank you that I'm right. I'm right. I'm walking right. Lord, I thank you that we have the word of God. Father, I thank you for our church. I thank you for our people. Lord, I thank you for who you are, Lord. You're the great God, Jehovah. I mean, we get up in the morning and we barely can open one eye, you know. People, we are his creation. We should get up. I know, hey, you take your shower, you do your bath, whatever. Get things right. But look, raise your hand every once in a while and thank him. Thank him for who he is. That he is the mighty God that's been there forever. Amen. Praise be unto him. Praise be unto him. I want you to turn, if you would. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. The Apostle Paul, as we know, wrote the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd. He wrote many books. It is believed by many, and you can see it in the context of the scripture, in the comments, that they believe, because of the year that it was written, that 1st Thessalonians was the first letter, because it's an epistle, that means letter, written by Paul to a church. The first one. So here we see Paul is writing this to the Thessalonians. And this is what he says in verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. Now Paul was trying to make it to the Thessalonian church to help them. He was like a visiting preacher or pastor to get there to help him. But it says this, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. You know, from the time you were born again to this exact day, we should ever be growing or ever growing in our walk with God. We should never become constant and complacent. You might say, well, how do you know if you're growing? And when I mean growing, you know, like you can look at a plant and you can see, you know, you plant some seeds in a plant, you know, in soil. And you water it, you give it sun, and you water it, and you give it sun, and you see nothing. But it is germinating in there. It's coming. See, sometimes we think, well, growth is what I can see. That's not necessarily truth. Growth is when we put our trust in Christ and we believe what he says in growing in him continuously daily. By getting our word and reading it, by praying, by seeking him. And the germination of that word inside of us starts to grow. And we may not even be able to feel it sometimes. But God is saying this. We're to ever grow before him, but that you would walk worthy of God. Now, it's an amazing thing. He didn't say run. It's amazing. Remember this. Every word, it has been placed there by the Holy Spirit because they know he knows what he's talking about. He says we are to walk in our relationship with him. You know, and sometimes we think, well, you know, it's not going fast enough. But let me tell you, one little step of an inch every day is better than nothing or going backwards. We need to take our walk with Christ seriously. That is one of the most important, the important thing. Because you see, one day, every one of us will pass away one day. Either we will die physically or the rapture will come, one of those things, whatever happens. But one day our life will end and one day we will give an account of our lives to him. And you know what? We can't lie. You know, the books have been taken. He knows what's there. Praise God. And the awards would be given. But you see, God is expecting us to take our daily walk. How we live daily, people. Hey, look. No one's perfect. Oh, I know that. No one's perfect. You know, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I've messed up in this area. Well, you know what you do? You take a time out, if you want to say it like that. So, and you know it. The Spirit of God grips your heart and you know you said something that you shouldn't have said. Or you thought of something you shouldn't have thought of. Or you did something you shouldn't have done. Or you went somewhere you shouldn't have gone. All those things. When the Holy Spirit convicts, you take a time out. You want to use it like, and you either sit down, get on your knees, however you want to do it, doesn't matter. And you say, Father, I come to you. And I ask for your forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. And you forgive yourself and you get up. And you start on your walk with Christ. Because you see, he's talking about our physical daily walk with him. And let me tell you, I know this. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. But there are a lot of things that God wants to deal with us about. And we need to let him deal with us about. There are a lot of things in our minds and in our hearts that God wants to get rid of. And we need to let the Holy Spirit do it. You might say, well, how can he do it? As we put our faith in Christ and nothing else. As you continue to walk with him, you're doing everything you know you should do. You pray. You seek God. You read your Bible. You come into church. You're doing everything you know you should do. When something happens, you get with him and you ask him for forgiveness. And that seals that bond together again. And you get back on track and you say, okay, now, Lord, let's go on. See, this is the deal. We often think as humankind that when something happens, we throw it away. Something bad happens, we throw it away. God doesn't throw his people away. It says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So when we mess up, whatever, we ask forgiveness, we get up, and really, honestly, every day, before you close your eyes to go to bed, you should say, I have a prayer saying, Lord, forgive me if there's something, because sometimes we don't even know. You know, just to cover the bases. That's not, you know, that, and then we, whatever. And then God's Holy Spirit is there. Then we call upon God as we put our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. So we walk with Christ. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is there as our comforter. That's an amazing thing. God, let me tell you this. God could have sent Jesus. And he would have died and done everything he can and went back to the Father. And he could have stopped it right there. But God had so much love for humanity. He knew he took the blood to bring us back to him. He knew it was the cross, but also he took care of us by sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us. And it says that he sticks closer than a brother, that he's there. The Holy Spirit is here and he's on the side of us, helping us to accomplish the will of the Father in our hearts and in our lives upon this earth. We're to walk uprightly before him. And let me tell you, when you get up from praying, you're right before him. You're right. You are justified. You are clean before the Father. It says that he knows it no more. As far as from the east is from the west, that he knows it no more. That the power and the presence of God is there with us. Taking care of those things. Taking care of those things. We are to, that you would walk worthy, and it, we're to walk, but we are to walk worthy of God. You know, what something is worth depends on who it belongs to. You know, in this world, we think of, you know, gold. Man, that's precious, huh? Gold. It's expensive. We think of pearls. Those are very expensive. You know, you go get a necklace of pearls, you're going to pay some money. Diamonds. Those are very precious to us. But to God, he uses gold on the streets. One of the most valuable things to us, he uses it as street pavement, gold. Pearls that are so precious to us, he uses it as a gate to him. What it's worth to us and what it's worth to him. Worthy of God. Walk a life. Live a life that is worthy of him. I know we're not perfect. We're not. But worthy of him. Look at this. The second. It says this. Who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen. It goes from a physical thing of us walking worthy with him to now who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. And this is what they say in the translation. It should have been translated. Who is calling you into his kingdom and glory? Who is calling you into his kingdom? You know what that means? He's calling us, people, to his kingdom. every morning, every day. That's why sometimes you feel the presence of God. You have to go and read your Bible because he's calling us to his kingdom. The more we know in the word, the more we know of his kingdom, what's going on, what's happening, the scriptures. Who is calling us? He wants us to walk worthy of our God. Physically, yes. Living a life that is worthy of him as we put our faith in Christ. But also, the second, who is calling us to his kingdom and glory. And the great calling, we know in the end, will be the rapture of the church, people. The great calling away, the great snatching away of the body of Christ. My God, he's coming, people. We need to get the job done. There are many people out there that have not heard sufficiently the right word of God, and we need to keep sharing it. Keep sharing it. Don't stop. The devil will tell you, man, they think you're crazy. That's all right. But when we get to heaven, we'll see who's crazy. Yeah, amen. Amen. Just keep our faith and keep sharing what God is doing in the people's hearts and lives. Because you see, we need to have that time with God who is calling us to his kingdom. Think of this. When you get up in the morning, the Father sitting in that living room waiting for you. Just calling you. And you go and you just pray and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Help me. Call upon you. And his glory and his presence comes in and helps us. Remember here, he doesn't want you to live this life without him. It never was intended to be that way. From the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were created, God would come in. They lived in a perfect place. And he would come in the cool of the day to talk with them, to share with them, to be with them. They had no, basically, temptation. They had nothing. Everything was perfect. And we know the downfall came. But God loves us so much that he does not want us to think that we're here to live a life without him. That he's here with us. He sent the Comforter to be with us. And when you get up in the morning, remember the Father's waiting for you. Oh, it hurt. It does something to my heart. Father, help me. Help me. See, prayer changes us. And it changes what goes on out there. And we need a lot of major changing in us. All of us, huh? A lot of major changing we need to happen. God is about to pour out his spirit like we've never seen before, people. Because he's about to split those eastern skies. Let's get ready. Let's bring in the harvest of souls. However we can do it. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop giving. Don't stop giving out the word of God. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Let God use you. Let God move through you. Let God do what he needs to do in your heart and life. So you can be a vessel of honor. You know, we don't know the many people that need to be touched by us. Not that we're anything special, but we've been called by God. Any born-again Christian has been called by God to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. We can't compromise, people. We can't say, well, we'll accept this as a good place. No, no, we got to stand with the word, what the Bible says. And no matter what it says, that's where we stand. And we go to God and we give God our petitions and we ask God to move upon situations. Walk worthy. Worthy of him. Worthy of him. I know the temptations of the enemy is great out there, people. It is. The temptation of the enemy will try to snatch your soul and try to destroy you and I. He will do everything he can that we will compromise and not stand for the truth of the gospel. But let me tell you, that's why we get up early in the morning as he is calling us, calling us into his kingdom and glory. We get up and we praise him and we honor him and we glorify his name and we thank him for the things that he's doing and going to do. We thank him, we thank him, we thank him. We thank him for his glory and his presence and his comfort. We thank him for enlightening us with the word of God. And the power of God comes. And God moves through us. Not because of who we are, never because of who we are, but all because of who He is. All He is, His glory and honor. Walk worthy of His calling. Walk worthy of that calling. Amen. I want to read one last scripture to you. And this is something Paul prayed for the Thessalonian church. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13 says this, "And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." So I pray that for you. Would you please stand as we are about to close?